CliffCentral.com. Wow. Yeah, I don't have that theme tune this morning. I changed computers over, and then I looked, and I didn't have it here.
Oh, not goodness, there. Goodness.
So that's how we started the show today.
When it rains, it pours. What a delightful.
Yeah. Good morning, all. My name is Ben Karpinski. This is the Gareth Cliff Show. Gareth Cliff, well, might not be here with us today, but Amanda's here. Good morning, Amanda.
Good morning, Ben.
Hello.
Nice theme tune you had going on there.
Yeah, well, yeah, I guess. my buddy Malloy is here.
Hello. Hello.
And Gord Laws?
Gord Laws is sick today. He actually, bless his heart, you know, he sent me a text. I woke up to this. This is when you know things are really, really bad. He sent me a text at 1:44 a.m. saying that he's feeling sick. It's the second night. He's up just because of his ill health. And so he hopes to be back with us either later on this week or then he'll come in next week as per usual.
I feel like it doesn't count unless you give details about what's happening to you.
Well, he's obviously
I'm trying to keep his dignity together.
We all lost the dignity a long time ago.
I mean, when I'm sick, I particularly say like I'm coughing up a lung or I've got my head down the toilet or, you know, whatever it is.
I have learned to actually take the Gord Laws way. Are not overexposed, but yeah, he's got the runs.
Okay.
Well, Gord, our thoughts are with you at this shitty time in your life.
Yep.
But
Yeah, so it's Wednesday. That's really, really exciting because, well, you know, downhill to the weekend and all that kind of jazz. Yeah, got to be honest with you, I don't know where to start with this. I'm excited about the weekend. Mm-hmm. Updated my head injury. I'm actually okay.
Are you sure, though?
So you saw an actual professional.
Well, look, this is how it works. If you don't drink water in life, it turns out you actually get headaches.
No. You what? Actually hit your head on something pretty hard. It's not because you were dehydrated.
No. I get that, okay? Initial trauma and stuff. But then I was doing better, and then it was not a thing, and then I got, like, headaches. I was like, oh, I'm really, really kind of worried about this. But then I just stopped drinking water for 2 days for some reason, because I've been so stressed and worried about all this other crap.
You stopped drinking water or you started drinking water?
No, I just realized, like, well, you're not drinking much water, are you? And it's all hot all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
So I drank a lot of water, had a good night's sleep. Fresh as anything.
For men's health, running about, triathlon, great star, Ben.
So yeah, currently I'm living by myself.
Overlooking the fact that you should drink water often.
I'm an absolute mess right now. Currently, I'm in a long-distance relationship. I'm living by myself. And I got to say, I'm actually not coping so well.
Oh, Ben, poor thing.
I absolutely relate because I'm in a long-distance relationship with Idris Elba.
So I'm sorry. So
yeah, it's always the same thing here with you and your stories.
Why are you in a long distance relationship?
Well, because my girlfriend's head office is in Cape Town. She has to go down there like once a month on average.
Oh,
and
geez.
Then every time of this time of year, it's like a really busy time.
Mm-hmm.
So she's down for like longer, like 2.5-3 weeks.
Oh my goodness, that's like
forever. I know.
Like a lot long time.
Forever. So yeah, it gets a bit boring around the house. There's only so much you can do.
It's just your meowses.
Yeah, like I've because of my head injury too, I shouldn't be spending too much time around computers. So yesterday, again with this whole, I'm trying all this different stuff. Yesterday I tried to have a screenless day. You know how impossible it is to live a life with no screens?
Like, yeah, I've tried that.
I don't know what to do.
And you just have to give in.
I felt like I just quit smoking and I don't know what to do with my hands.
You know, my flatmate, she had her phone stolen about 3 weeks ago at an event.
Oof. When did you get a flatmate?
About a month ago. So she
serious life.
It's a bona fide drinking mate. Never mind. That's another story. As you were, Mabala.
She had her cell phone stolen at an event a few weeks ago. And then about a week into not having her cell phone, she told me that, oh, you know what? I actually don't miss annoying WhatsApp groups, a million notifications, and, you know, people just trying to harass you by calling you when you don't really want to answer the phone.
You cloned yourself as a housemate.
No. And she was getting into the rhythm of not having a cell phone. And she said, it actually hasn't been the worst thing in my life.
Mm.
She was still using her iPad at the time. So she would connect to people on social media that way. And then her iPad fucked out. And yesterday she had a mental breakdown because now she has no screen.
See, the safety net is gone. Yeah, no. So there was always something.
Yeah, so just to relate to what you're saying, no, she's having it tough right now. Now she has no screen. She feels like she's in withdrawal.
I'm trying to think about it. And almost everything that I do in my day revolves around a screen. Mm. My cell phone, yep. My laptop,
yep.
My TV.
Well, think about it, okay? No. So every time... It's true. There's so few moments in our lives where there is no screen involved. Mm. And I thought, yeah, everyone talks about this. How hard can it be? So I'm home alone. So that takes away the TV, right? So when you're eating or when you, like, what do you do? You eat towards what?
Looking at your plate.
I almost feel like a human with no direction. And then, okay, so I would like to be in a position where I don't need my phone. But the thing is, because of work, I need social media. I need screens. I need to be on emails. I need to be editing videos and writing things.
Yes.
So I was like, okay, well, I can always just start planning things by using pen and paper. But then you've got to rewrite. Then you get starting on an article. And then you got to rewrite the thing as well. And then you just feel like a child because now you're typing from like stuff you've written on pages.
Yeah.
Mm. It's like, yeah, I get to use the parents' computer now. I can do my work.
And it just
it just didn't feel like I was going anywhere as a human being.
But do you ever feel like your hand has become lazy over the years? Because in school, you used to write everything down in actual mm-hmm. books. But every time I pick up a pen now, I just feel like I've got this lazy hand.
Yeah.
It's just not the same anymore.
And your handwriting resembles something of a person who just woke up from a cave.
Yeah, do you ever sometimes catch yourself and wonder when last I actually have to write something down?
But you know what I also think it is? Because when we were in school and we were quite soft and all that kind of stuff and relatively slow.
We were soft.
Well, we were children, yeah.
Oh, okay.
We knew nothing about the world.
Okay.
And when we wrote, our minds weren't working that quickly, so therefore our handwriting would match our thoughts and stuff. So it was pretty good.
Mm.
But now, because of instant gratification, screens, all that kind of stuff, predictive text, our minds are already at the end of the sentence, but our hands are still going, B, E. And then you're like, ugh. And then you end up writing like an absolute spider.
Yeah.
Well, as the great Oprah Winfrey said, you should keep a gratitude journal at the end of every single day and you write down things you're grateful for.
Yeah.
And I actually do that every night. So I get to at least write like half a page.
But that's kind of smart. So, you know, your Said by Sia feature here gives us daily pearls, absolute pearls of wisdom.
I'll take that. Thank you.
And if you do listen to us every single day, well, thank you. It's a very good idea that you do. And the things that Sia does throughout there, if you try to take some of them into your life, you'll find that it's actually better. So that part about the whole gratification journal.
Yes, and the jar of awesome was this week.
Okay, Sia, look, let's not showboat it.
Oh, sorry,
okay?
No.
I'm just giving you one at a time.
I'm just giving you little notes.
So why, again, going back to my no screens thing, why that's such a good idea is because at the end of the day, before you go to sleep, you're on your phone, okay? And there's the whole blue light thing. Gareth's spoken about this before. But if you've got your gratification journal, you're not using a light, you're actually writing. Mm. That will slow your brain down a little bit and it'll almost be therapeutic because you have to physically write something.
True.
You know, that is actually such a brilliant idea, keeping a journal like that, because it means that every time or every night that you go to sleep with positive thoughts in your mind.
That too.
Listen, I have to say, so I personally list 7 things that I'm grateful for every single day. Sometimes
often do we come up?
Yeah, sometimes you only get 3 and you're sitting there like, I am grateful for, I don't know, my curtains today. I'm grateful for my curtains.
I am grateful for this journal.
Yeah. Gotta just say, I'm grateful for my hands, for being able to write. Yeah, sometimes it really is a slow day. But you think about it, whenever you're just going through the day, you become aware of like the little things. If just someone lets you in traffic and you note that for the day, and that actually means a lot to you. So, yeah.
Exactly. And yesterday, if you missed it on the podcast, I think it was in the first hour. Again, it was after Said by Sia with Sia's little feature. Gareth played this amazing clip about the fact that maybe just being here today is actually the win. And just being a human in this whole thing is the win.
Yeah.
We're always just so obsessed with, oh, we need more money. We need better jobs. We need better looking partners. We need bigger penis. Whatever it is. People are always just so obsessed with certain things.
Yes, yes, this is true. We always want more. And we completely forget about the stuff that we already have because we're always thinking about the more. I want more. I want bigger.
Ugh. Yeah. Okay, my buddy. I brought up the penises. You don't have to keep hammering it home. So So that's your positive start to the morning, I must say.
That is actually good, folks. Look at us.
I feel a lot better. Mm-hmm. If you want to get in contact with the show on the WhatsApp line, it is 079-748-2090.
Uh-oh.
And if you are needy, then maybe it's not the right thing for you. I see a message here. Why don't you respond? Well, look, we can't physically type a response to you. If your message is kind of interesting or relevant, then we'll read it.
Mm.
So that phone number, who seems very upset, that's how it goes. Okay, those messages are probably from much earlier. Right, so today, as I said, is Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
We've covered that.
It's getting rough out here.
Right, there's something I really want to play. And forgive me if this doesn't work. So over the weekend, I've been kind of transferring things to a different computer because I need to free up space to make videos, blah, blah, very long story. But I found this clip. So Saturday Night Live, it's not that funny. It has moments.
It has moments.
And this is definitely one of those moments.
My genes tell me I'm a man.
My genes tell me I'm a woman.
They tell me I'm relaxed. That I'm skinny.
A child.
Yo, you don't know me, genes.
I'm not a style.
I'm not a size.
That's not me.
I am not a child.
I'm me.
I'm unique.
Okay, so it's a parody jeans advert, as you can see, because jeans are always telling you exactly what you are, right?
Right.
Yeah. Well,
bootleg, skinny. Yeah.
Okay, so you get where this is going from the start.
Whoa.
I'm woke.
So, why aren't my jeans?
Now they are. Introducing Levi Wokes. Sizeless, style neutral, gender non-conforming denim for a generation that defies labels.
Wow.
Levi's heard that if you're not woke, it's bad. So we made these.
Defining someone by their style? That's offensive.
That's why Levi Wokes have no style.
What's my size?
Why don't you try asking me about my accomplishments?
My Wokes are size me.
They fit everybody.
Because they fit nobody.
So what colors do they come in?
Colors? I'm triggered.
This color. Can you label this color?
That is the color Greb.
They not brown, but they not brown.
It's a handful of colors, none of which are dominant.
Just like our country.
Oh, wait.
Whoa.
Let's talk pockets.
Pockets sold separately.
Yo, who says I have hands?
You getting this yet? The jeans are woke.
Whoa!
Do they come in men's and women's?
Nah.
Do they come in person?
What do you think?
That's why Wokes got Unifly.
180 degrees of gender nonconformity.
My jeans let me decide how I go to the bathroom. Do yours?
What don't you get? They woke.
Woke.
Get woke.
We're woke.
Yo, hold up. Are my wokes made in some factory by Indonesian kids?
Nah, they're made right here in the USA.
By white kids.
With Levi Wokes.
Woke.
Levi Wokes. Available exclusively at Ross.
That's funny.
Wow. So it's Saturday Night Live. You got to see the visuals to this. So it's basically the most unattractive garment you've ever seen.
They bear a striking resemblance to those hammer pants, but just a little bit more exaggerated than that. They're ugly.
I'm sure Will I Am has worn a pair of works before in his life.
But you know, we are going to get to this point, though.
I think for many
woke
people,
jeans.
It already are. Like, it's kind of funny there. It's like pockets. Like, are you assuming I have hands? Like, you can be offended by anything whatsoever, right?
Mm. Oh, my goodness.
It's like, my jeans don't tell me how to go to the toilet. So there's a fly that goes from the front to the back.
Like, jeez. I'm sorry. I've spotted a new trend in men's fashion, and that is crop tops for men.
Yeah, I saw this just 2 days
Hasn't
ago.
Hasn't this always been something that's happened?
I don't know.
Amanda, does this one happen in the East End?
No.
No.
That's horrible. I need to see like someone wearing one, actually. I've never seen this.
Mm-mm. It's gathering momentum, and I think it's scary. I don't know. I don't want to see that. I don't need to see your bare belly out there.
No. It's not for
steady for that.
It's not for the dead bod people.
Yeah, I mean,
I was trying to be kind. I didn't know how to put it.
You're not going to see certain people of this world in skinny jeans. Like there's things that people wear and things that people won't wear.
Yeah, they're skinny jeans, and not makey skinny jeans.
And there are things that people shouldn't wear. Yeah. So, I think those crop tops are purely for models.
But watch me say this now.
And people with six packs.
And then in 8 months' time, I'll be wearing.
Yes.
So yeah, you have a crop top already, so don't even try to act like this isn't a thing. And it's totally fine. You know what we haven't done in the show for quite some time?
What haven't you done, Ben?
Give me a guess.
I don't know.
We haven't played
spoken to someone.
We haven't played mean tweets.
Oh, yes.
It's been such a long time. I'd love mean tweets. I don't know if Garrett doesn't like
it. Like the celebrities reading mean tweets.
Yes, we haven't played mean tweets in so long.
Gal Gadot. IMMA? Is that a word? IMA be wondering why that woman got no titties? They're here, don't worry.
Emma Watson seems like the type of girl who I would be friends with for like 3 days and then get really sick of, but not tell her.
Jake Gyllenhaal has the most punchable face of all time. I'd like nothing more than to sock him in his ugly, soft, starry-eyed pug face.
Elizabeth Moss looks stunning. I think she can clean up well, despite my grandmother's harsh opinion that she's hideous.
Ooh. I bet the John Lithgow's ball sack looks exactly like his face. My face is not complimented, but my ball sack is.
Dave Chappelle's head don't fit his body no more. He forgot to exercise that milk gut on his shoulders. That bitch tiny.
All frowning old dudes are Jeffrey Tambor to me. That's just hurtful.
Can Gwyneth Paltrow just stick to steaming her vagina and shut the up?
Jennifer Aniston is what happens when a bag of flour gets its big break. Because it's like I'm a bag of flour. Funny.
Jim Parsons looks like a ventriloquist dummy that came to life to become a sex offender. Oh, God.
Jamie Lannister has a tiny pass it on.
Kristen Bell seems like the kind of person I'd be thrilled to be paired up with for a school project, but then would never want to hang out with her otherwise. That's probably true.
I bet Jennifer Lawrence gives really unenthusiastic How did they know?
I'm gonna submit Bob Odenkirk to ugly whites.
Someone just told me I smiled like Michael Keaton, and I don't know if I should take 1 million selfies or put a gun in my mouth. I'd put a gun in your mouth.
At Real Donald Trump writes, just tried watching Saturday Night Live. Unwatchable. Totally biased, not funny, and the Baldwin impersonation just can't get any worse. Sad.
Is Kumail Nanjiani's multiple colors? Yes. Every shade of your mom's lipstick. And her butthole.
Whose show is that on again? It's one of the Jimmy's, right?
Kimmel.
Is it Kimmel or Fallon?
It's Kimmel.
Yeah.
Some of those are brilliant. I wonder if people have gotten to the point where they're deliberately writing tweets with the hopes that it will end up on Kimmel's show. I mean, some of those tweets are just very well executed. The one about Gwyneth Paltrow.
Let's get back to the truth.
Steaming her vagina.
It is the truth. What more do you do,
Gwyneth? But some of them are really smart, and that's what you got to love about, like, kind of, this is why we got to laugh at ourselves, because that's funny, and who cares what somebody with 3 followers living in their trailer's got to say about you in the greater scheme of things.
Exactly. Prior to them reading those tweets, they didn't even know that those people existed, so why take yourself seriously? Just laugh it off.
Jennifer Aniston's a bag of flour that got a big break.
Wow.
And that's what we do. That's what we do as humans. But it's not very woke to do that kind of stuff. You can't rip people off.
Spring in woke again.
Well, we got to. So yeah, so it is Wednesday. There's no God Laws here today. And I kind of, you know, looking back, because I do listen to the show from time to time, not because I like the sound of my own voice, which I actually don't. It's just because, you know, I want to get better at being podcasting.
Okay.
sentences like that. I'm really doing
being
well.
A podcaster or getting better at podcasting.
Yes.
One of those.
I get you. And something I really do enjoy is what Gord does bring to the show. So unfortunately, he won't be here today, so he can't bring it. But he's kind of like that. He's become to the show like that funny uncle who comes around, and as a kid, you're like, oh, cool. Uncle Gord's coming around. Because he always arrives and he's like funnier than your parents and he's kind of like cool. And that's what I feel like Gord's becoming to the show. Aww. And I think like people also feel the same way because we get a lot of good comments around about Gord.
Do you want to maybe retract what you just said?
Why? Was he said bad things about me?
Based on yesterday, I texted him to confirm that he'll be coming in. And he said, yeah, I sure hope so. Only if you're there though, Sia. I hate others. Well, all of them except Mabale and Gareth.
Yeah, so Gord, suck on that diarrhea.
That's what he gets for being mean to you, Ben. Actually, and Amanda.
Oh, man.
And Amanda.
Oh, man.
That's what he gets.
How dare he attack Amanda. Right, so, if you have picked up, it's a new month, so there's only Anthea once a week now, which means that Said by Sia will be a little bit longer as of beginning of this week. And we've got no Gareth at the moment. But let's not mess around with all these things. Let's get into some serious business. And that is the serious business of the five things you need to know with Mabali Maloy. It is brought to you by Kolkakia Pizzeria. If you're looking for high quality food and great service teamed with a relaxed atmosphere, then Kolkakia Pizzeria is the place for you. Kolkakia Pizzeria is a family-friendly environment which allows everyone to enjoy being part of the whole pizzeria experience. And we've got to say, some of you are getting quite, I don't know if bossy is the right word, quite adamant about the fact that your salads are better than the salads that we like.
Oh, did you see what happened on Twitter
yesterday
last night?
Yesterday was a borderline tour by talking about the chicken Caesar being better than the San Siro.
One Alexander has said that his, or rather Kolkakia's Caesar salad beats the San Siro. I took that personally. Ooh. And I said, you know what? We accept your challenge. Let's duel it out at the dinner table. So we should probably try and make something happen from that.
Yeah, we probably should. I know Gord's going to step in. Not that we're friends, but Gord's going to step in with his... Gord likes to create his own salads, which is what you can do at Kolkakia's, of course. Lots of fresh, amazing ingredients. You can choose something from the menu, or you can just kind of make it your own way with the salads. But hey, I don't need to be salivating anymore. But Bali, what do we got in the headlines?
All right, so we're going to be preparing for summertime in these parts, but over in the Northern Hemisphere, as they brace themselves for the next flu season, scientists have been working very hard. A seasonal flu vaccine that would be the first in the world to fight all types of the flu virus is set to be tested. It's going to happen over a 2-year clinical trial, and it will involve more than 2,000 patients by researchers in Oxford. The so-called universal vaccine was developed by Oxford University's Jenner Institute and Vaccitech. Current flu vaccines have to be changed each year to match the strains of viruses circulating at the time, and they do not always protect people that well, especially when it comes to older patients or people with weak immune systems. So this new vaccine works by using proteins which are found in the core of the virus rather than those on its surface. Surface proteins stick out like pins from the virus and change all the time, while those in the core are stable. So essentially, it sounds to me like they're trying to move towards a universal vaccine that can be used by all of us instead of formulating, you know, these different types of vaccines according to, or rather to matching the different types of strains of viruses each time we go into the flu season. So that's a bit of interesting news right there.
For sure, and so useful.
Absolutely.
We can't keep wasting time for these trivial things.
Zimbabwean First Lady Grace Mugabe has reportedly drawn criticism from health and political activists. Allegedly, she has donated used underwear to ZANU-PF in the eastern border city of Mutare. I know what you're thinking. I know this sounds like fake news.
What?
But this is according to Newsday.
Okay, so it's not according to My Zimbabwe.
No, this is not My Zimbabwe. This is according to Newsday. And it is also on News 24. So let's just hear this out for a second.
Okay.
The donation was handed over to the ruling party supporters by a prominent businessman and a legislator by the name of Isao Mufumi. Mufumi recently, you know, he he told activists that the underwear was sourced from the First Lady. Quote, he said, "Recently I visited the state house and I met the First Lady, Grace Mugabe, and I was given these clothes so that I can give to you. I have briefs for you, and I am told that most of your briefs are not in good shape. Please come and collect your allocations today."
Wow, she's such a humanitarian.
The report
is so nasty.
The report also quoted that an unnamed beneficiary of the mini briefs, criticizing the First Lady for taking them as a charity case instead of creating jobs to end unemployment in the Southern African country. Of course, we cannot stress the importance of the health repercussions from putting on a pair of somebody else's underwear. I mean,
look, the only time used underwear is fine is in a vending machine in Japan because someone's got a fetish. That's it.
And
that's it, Grace Mugabe.
And what is the fetish, Ben? That they want to smell the stuff?
Yes, and they're entitled to do so with their own disposable income.
Okay.
How about we start with just giving people food, shelter, water?
Yeah, see, this is the thing.
First lady.
If you're a leader of a country, your only job is to make sure that people have opportunities to eat, work, live okay lives. That's it. Nowhere does it say you must dispense used underwear, you egomaniac / psychopath.
You know, when it comes to our underwear, there's so many dodgy things that get done that happen. Like people, for example, repeating used underwear. Fine, it's your own, but that is still nasty as
there's
fuck.
Gunk and funk.
I don't care what anybody tells me. That is disgusting. Yeah, it stop it. Stop it immediately. But okay. I digress.
Oh, my goodness.
Yesterday, I was telling you about how Reeva Steenkamp's family had revealed that they hadn't been contacted by Lifetime with regards to the upcoming Oscar Pistorius movie and how disappointed they had been. Well, the Pistori are taking an entirely different route altogether. Oscar Pistorius's brother Carl has released an official statement regarding the Oscar Pistorius Blade Runner killer. He is going to sue. Yes, the Pistori are going to sue. In the statement, Pistorius says that the family distanced itself from the Lifetime film and that they are going to be pursuing legal action against it.
But, guys, okay, I don't know if you watched the trailer yesterday when Mubs brought this up, but if you go on to anywhere on the internet, it's just Oscar Pistorius movie trailer, whatever. I don't know how they've done it, but there's a guy with the alternative legs.
Prosthetics?
No. Actually, because you know, like, obviously Oscar has the stump, right?
Yes.
But from what I saw, they've recreated that. They found someone with similar disposition?
Disability.
Okay, I'm trying to be PC here.
We can call it what it is, though.
Anyway, I don't know what to say.
As you were saying.
But I don't know. You got to watch the trailer again. Or am I seeing things?
And isn't it just like CGI or something? Where did he see it?
Well,
was it the main actor walking?
Because if you see, like, obviously during the trial, Oscar had to get onto his stumps and walk in front of everybody. That's what they said, that it was degrading. They had to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, obviously, he's got what's left of his legs, and then there's the bottom part, and it looks like they've kind of recreated that with the actor.
Was it a full body shot?
Yes.
Did you see his face in the same shot as the legs?
Maybe not.
Because can just recreate fake legs, and that's why you just filmed that.
Gotta say, it looked really impressive.
Wow, okay. I mean, if that's what they did, then that is impressive. All I know about the actor is that he was born in South Africa, but now he's based in the US.
Yeah.
But I mean, a quick...
Basically, he groomed himself for this role.
A quick Google search would answer that question on whether or not he actually also does have prosthesis.
No, I think...
Well, obviously, we all want to watch this thing, right? All of us.
I am here for that party. To. And the Reeva, what we've discovered, the Reeva actress is a Victoria's Secret model. Hence her blonde bombshell-nessness of it all. So let's see. I'm ready.
So, part of Carl Pistorius' statement reads like this. The film is not a true reflection of what happened on the day of this tragedy and the subsequent trial of the matter. It is a gross distortion of the findings of the court. Oscar was subjected to a month-long psychological evaluation, which was insisted upon by the prosecution. He goes on to say that it is a gross misrepresentation of the truth, which is why they are now seeking legal action, I suppose, against Lifetime, because they're the ones who have produced this body of work.
Well, as Gareth was saying yesterday, that you can legally go and make a movie about someone. You can do it if you want. But then this is where it gets murky. If they're going to misrepresent in the eyes of the person, then they're within their rights to then sue. So, yeah, it's like one of those you can, but you really can't kind of things.
On a bit of a side note, I would like give anything in the world to have a brother and a family like the Pistoriuses. Honestly, like, they have been Team Oscar this entire way through. Bro, you could have just kept quiet and sat down in the midst of all of this. Now you're speaking out again. Like, actually kind of annoying, actually, with the way they speak out all the time. But anyway.
Okay, well, those are the five things that you need to know. I'll have more news stories for you after 7.
Wait, I had one more thing on that. So, you know, with like Narcos and that El Chapo Guzman show, not a show, I mean, I guess like a sitcom, the El Chapo kind of stories, that you find the families, they always want to sue these people who make these true-to-life features.
Mm-mm.
Because they can always find a case, right? So all of these things, we've seen it as well at Narcos. Season 3, the main guy there, the detective, he in real life, he actually wasn't involved in bringing down the Cali cartel. But it looked great on the show because continuity. Yeah. Everyone loved that guy because he was on Game of Thrones and he's just a really great actor. So nothing's ever exact.
No.
So if a movie is made about you, you've always... Well, that didn't happen because it's your word against theirs. It's your life. So obviously you're kind of right, sort of thing. So this is very dangerous to go and make a movie about Oscar. I mean, did they also show Uncle Arnold's ivory stockpile?
No, it seems like the movie's focus is on Oscar, Riva, and then for whatever reason, also June Steenkamp.
Well, June was a big part, of course, because think about it for drama purposes, right? The grieving mother is a huge character in the drama because people who watch Lifetime are mothers, firstly. So there's going to be a huge point to relate to. Mothers and Sia.
Thanks.
Sia, the mother of much guilt and anxiety.
Yeah.
So obviously this story is going to develop. It's going to develop a whole bunch. But we'll have to get back to that at another stage because...
Hey.
What a tune. Right over to the sport, and there'd be dipshittery in the plot today.
Oh.
Lots and lots and lots of it.
Very nice.
Yeah, I guess you can know that I'm probably going to start with rugby, although I've got dipshittery in the cricket as well. But let's go with the rugby, because Kasatu are threatening to picket outside of the BOC match on Saturday. Sorry, the Western Cape branch of Kasatu, which is one of the most insignificant things you could possibly think of.
What exactly has upset them?
Well, okay, look, when you got a business of being upset the whole time, this is what's upset them this time. They're upset that Springbok matches are not shown on the SABC, therefore not available to the masses in this country. So what they're going to do is they're going to take it upon themselves to try and make absolute nuisances of themselves outside of the match because they believe that SARU is at fault here. Okay, Kasatu, you'll probably never be able to learn a lesson because most of you are up your own arse or you're just too ignorant to care about stuff. But why don't you go and picket outside the SABC that's been run so terribly for so long now? They don't have the means because they're pissing all the money against the wall or all kinds of things that don't make any sense. So it's their opportunity to go and take BOC matches and put them on your screen. Whether they're live or delayed, it is their prerogative. SARU is a business. Okay, it's a business that make money and pay people and provide a service and all that kind of stuff. So that's how it works. That's like saying, well, we're going to go pick it outside the Netflix offices because Narcos is not on SABC. So you guys, firstly, I know intelligence isn't probably the thing that you can write first up in the CV, but you're barking up very much the wrong tree here. And now you're making nuisance of innocent taxpaying individuals who just for some reason want to go watch the box on Saturday. That's if you actually go ahead with this march. So Kasatu have done this before. Previously, their gripe was there's not enough blacks in the team. That was what they went on. But what I think they're doing is they're just trying to rub up some tickets for these matches because they go there and they're, I don't know, 17 or 18s of them. And they go to SARU, this will not stand. You cannot have a team that's this white. So now they're saying this cannot stand. You can't have these matches only put on Mnet because then only the whites watch it. What they're really, I'm sure, trying to do is they're trying to get box tickets for Saturday because they said they're going to meet with Saru. I think they're meeting tomorrow, and they're going to meet whether they should or should not march or picket against this thing.
So what? Saru are going to give them a bunch of tickets and say, I hope this sorts out
A bunch of tickets and a couple situation. Of jerseys, and then they'll have no issue until next year where they'll come and hold them to ransom about something else. But these dickbags then go on to say that Nick Mallett is a racist and you can't have white pundits on Mnet talking about rugby because they're racist like Nas Buerta. It's just such an old, tired narrative. It's just like, well, he's white, he's a racist. You guys don't understand. This is a business, rugby. Nick Mallett is a fantastic pundit. He's hugely smart. He has amazing insights. The guy has played at the highest level. He's coached at the highest level. There are probably not any smarter people about rugby in this country, okay? So therefore, his job is a rugby pundit. Believe it or not. That's what he does. He's good at. People want to listen to him. People who pay for the service want to listen to him. So therefore, the circle's been closed there. You guys really have nothing to go on here. Calling him a racist because you perceive the fact that he speaks up white players and speaks down black players. Now he's talking out your ass again. I mean, I'm going blue in the face here with the dipshittery that we're surrounded with. I get morals. I get transformation. I get all these different processes. And I get gripes and people wanting different things in this country. But when does stupidity have to always like rule against all of these things?
I don't know, Ben.
It's unsubstantiated bollocks.
I wish I cared about rugby. Unfortunately, I can't be bothered to... I can't.
Well, it's just tiring. I tell you who else are really tiring. It's those people who born, raised in the Cape, but they think they're New Zealanders.
Oh?
This is outside Cape Town Airport yesterday.
Okay.
These people are singing the New Zealand national anthem.
Oh.
South African All Black rugby supporters singing the New Zealand national anthem. Now, you support whoever you want. You do what you want. Everyone's got a kink. But do you guys not see the irony in all of this? You support the All Blacks historically because you're against apartheid. Cool. No problem. 1994, country changed a bit. Lots of black players come into the mix. Lots of people who are more of different demographics play for the Springboks, a lot more than your so-called All Blacks. They are singing the national anthem, God Defend New Zealand, which is basically New Zealand, colony of England, back in the day. They basically stole their anthem and just changed a couple of words. So you're against the patriarchy or the colonial rule, all that kind of stuff. New Zealand don't care about you.
Yeah, New Zealand probably don't know that...
They don't care about you, and you're singing a colonial song.
Wait, I don't understand... Yeah, again, I wish I cared. I'm sorry. I'm really trying, but I absolutely do not give a shit.
But no, the whole thing about today's sports bulletin is about dipshittery and these people who just have... I mean, how hurt are you? How desperate are you to belong to something that you are doing this because you cannot see the irony at all? They all support the Canterbury Crusaders. Christchurch is probably the whitest place on earth. The whitest place on earth. Mm-hmm. It really is. And their team, they have a few guys from Fiji playing on the wing, but ultimately it's probably the whitest team in Super Rugby. These guys are all wanting to support a winner. That's why they supported Man United in the 90s. It's just so sad. But the lengths they go to, they're trying to prove a point. Like, look at us. Yeah. Another thing that's happening around the All Blacks right now is that... So everyone makes a big point about the fact that they clean their own change rooms, they carry their own bags, that kind of stuff, and everyone says the box are a little bit too prissy. So there's been all kinds of things happening on Twitter about exaggerations of how amazing the team spirit is in the All Blacks. It's like, well, you know, here they are talking to each other. Wow, the team spirit's so amazing. Or here's Steve Hansen's dog picking up its own shit. Wow, these guys are so amazing.
Just say the box are shit and keep it moving because they are shit currently. Even you said so.
Well, they're not great. No, but I mean, this is what happens when your team is not doing well. The sideshows pick up and it all becomes one massive farce. On to another farce. You know T20 cricket?
No.
Mm-hmm. Well, you do. It's T20 cricket. There's 20 overs a match.
Is it currently on?
No.
Oh.
But the format, T20 cricket. People are now wanting to create the T10. So 10 overs a side.
Why?
Because 20 over cricket is just too long. So it's happening in the UAE, that cricket stronghold there. They say that they want to spearhead the T10 cricket revolution. in and outs, retiring, not retiring. Shahid Afridi's been associated with us as long. I mean, this is such a non-story, but T10 cricket, it's just, you know, T20 cricket in many ways was a slippery slope towards other things, and it kind of managed to stabilize, create an identity. But T10, I mean, what next? One of the balls bowled by a small child, is one of the balls then going to be bowled by a blind woman? I mean, where do we go from here, T10 cricket? It's just absolute stupidity.
Wait, who's going to be benefiting here money-wise? Isn't that what everything is about? It's about money.
Spot on. So some dipshit over there in UAE decides that T10 is going to be a big thing. They'll pay a bunch of washed-out cricketers some money to go and play it, and they'll believe they're doing something for the game. You are not. It's like whoring out your mother. You people should be ashamed of yourselves.
Ooh.
Yeah. Protest players, surprise, surprise, are not in favor of the four-day test match, which they're trying to play against Zimbabwe. I mean, really, today is just all about stupidity in sport. I mean, I don't know if I can carry on, actually.
4 days as opposed to what?
So, test cricket's 5 days long. So, because India couldn't give a toss about, you know, being polite about committing to a tour, they're deciding to only come to SA after New Year's Day. So, the test match will be on the 5th of January. Whereas, historically, summer tours to South Africa mean you play a Boxing Day test match and a New Year's Day test match, and it goes from there. But they're not coming, so now there's this gap. There's the Boxing Day window with no match. So Zimbabwe, obviously very little to do. Only team that can come and play these matches. So CSA, Cricket South Africa, said, well, let's have a 4-day test match and make it day night. It's just stupid. We covered the story a few weeks ago. But it turns out the players themselves, they're going, no, it's not a good idea. Well, at least these guys are still speaking some sort of truth. And that's all I've got. That's all the energy I've got for today. I really do. I mean, there's just nothing but stupidity left, right, and center. I'm hoping sanity can return as of tomorrow, when I'll bring you more sport and a look at the weekend ahead. Sia, what's going on with you?
Hey, alrighty. Let's go straight into it. So this morning, said by Sia. Now, as Las Vegas is recovering from the horrific shooting on Sunday that left, I think at last count was 59 people killed and more than 500 injured, it has been actually encouraging to hear about some of the stories of kindness that has been emerging in the face of tragedy. And that's what I want to bring for you this morning on Said by Sia. So some of the absolute amazing, kind-hearted acts people have been doing in the face of really, like, saying a storm is such an understatement. So firstly, what people have been banding together and actually doing is they've been raising money for the situation. So someone started a general GoFundMe page, and the goal was initially $2 million and was later increased to $3.5 million late on Monday night. And get this, they actually reached their goals. This was in a matter of hours. And so now this GoFundMe page is actually governed by the chairman of the Clark County in Nevada, Steve Sosiak. And he's been able to now use the $3.5 million US dollars for the disaster as well. So that's absolutely encouraging. Something else, this... these two friends, one of them who was a victim of the shooting in Las Vegas, also started a GoFundMe page. They spoke about their friend, Carissa, in the GoFundMe profile, and they said, Carissa's a beautiful, warm-hearted, and charismatic soul that was tragically struck in the mass shooting at the Route 91 Harvest Festival in Las Vegas. She has suffered a gunshot wound through her shoulder that pierced her lung, causing it to collapse. Aina. She's out of surgery and is stable. However, this is just the beginning of her road to recovery. We are asking everyone to please help our dear friend and her family through this difficult and devastating time with any means possible. So get this, they actually just hoped for $5,000 for Carissa, but because of everyone chipping in, they've raised over 40,000 US dollars to help Carissa out. So I think this is absolutely awesome. So that's just on donating money, but people have also been donating blood. It actually makes sense given that there's so many victims, more than 500 people still in the hospital, and people have been lining up, you know, just in car parks. There have been donation centers set up all across the city of Las Vegas, and they've actually had to, the authorities have actually had to say, listen guys, like, we can't take any more. The United Blood Services in Las Vegas has been sent more than 200 units of blood already, and the American Red Cross has provided more than 250 additional blood products as well. So Vegas sheriff, Joe Lombardo, had to actually go onto TV to convince people that demand was sufficiently met. He thanked everyone greatly, but was like, guys, we cannot take anyone to donate blood anymore. So you look at all of this goodness and really is inspiring to hear of all of these stories. And actually, transport companies like Lyft and Uber actually stepped up to the plate as well. They were providing, and I think still are providing, free rides around Las Vegas for anyone who's displaced, who was displaced by the tragedy, as well as anyone who wanted to donate blood as well. So whether you wanted to donate blood at one of the centers or go to a hospital, you were actually provided free rides because of these companies. So that's amazing. There's also been a lot of donations around the city. So this is food and water donations that have been piled up outside evacuation centers and hospitals, so people are banding up together. And even I like the fact that ordinary citizens are extending themselves. So there's a Ryan Holdman who felt, you know, very emotional and wanted to act in some way positively, so he just started cooking food. He actually is the head chef at an Italian restaurant in Las Vegas, and so he started to deliver pasta and salads and breads to the likes of fire stations and emergency rooms. He says that I felt like I did some good but wanted to do more. Mostly, I shook every firefighter and nurse's hand and told them thank you. So this is absolutely awesome in my books. And then lastly, we know that social media can be such like a dark and nasty place, but social media also played a massive, massive role in the Las Vegas shootings. There was a mother who actually lost her son in the midst of the shooting and the chaos that ensued. This is such like a... You think about it, it's... really just so I don't even have the words for it.
It's okay, Sia.
No.
You're strong.
Lost her son over. As in he died
she,
or?
No, she was actually there with her son. And yes, it's not the most unfortunate thing when you think about the circumstance overall. But she just stepped off to the ladies for a few moments. And as she actually went to the ladies, that was when the shootings began. And when everyone started running, she lost her son in the entire crowd. Mm. So she was a mess, but luckily her son was scooped up by another stranger who just extended themselves in kindness, and they ran off and they hid in a convenience store. And that's when the stranger just took to social media. She was just like, listen, I have this 5-year-old boy. His name is Aiden. If anyone knows who he is or who he belongs to, please reach out to me. And that's... picture alone has been shared over 12,000 times on Twitter. Oh, nice. And because of that, she's been able to be reconciled with her child. So you think about it, and I was stuck glued to the screen watching CNN for updates as well on the Las Vegas shootings. You think about the mess, the nastiness, the downright negativity that has been like born out of this shooting. But at the same time, I think it's been inspiring and heartwarming to hear about these amazing, amazing stories of kindness in Las Vegas.
Indeed. Thanks, Sia. Yeah. Man. Well, that's the thing. Like, there's so many different tragedies, but the human spirit is still not completely broken.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
Yeah.
And we still actually aren't too terrible. A few of us are. Person with a massive machine gun being one of them.
Yeah. As I was watching the news last night and to see these updates, this guy had, you know, it was a full-blown arsenal that was found in his hotel room, at home as well. His girlfriend, who's in the Philippines, is now being investigated as well. It's a mess. It's an absolute mess.
It really is. But thanks for that, Sia.
Yeah.
Well, today is Wednesday, and you know what that means. It means it's Living It Up with Lorato. This is the throw forward to a great show. If you're interested in property, getting into property, finding out more about property, for many of it's really, really daunting. We feel it's not for us, and it can never be for us, especially in tough economic times. But Living It Up with Lorato definitely tells you the other side of things with people who actually are in the business and are going to help you there. So, time to think like a property investor. Born in Johannesburg and now an entrepreneur and successful property expert living in KwaZulu-Natal, Julie Solomon is an award-winning real estate agent who teaches people how to invest in property wisely. She tells Lorato about her JS property seminars and how they equip you to be able to own a piece of land. This all happening today, Living It Up with Lorato at 10 a.m. SA time this morning, Cliff Central.
Awesome.
or the podcast later on cliffcentral.com. It's all there for you. Yeah, still no Gareth, but we'll keep you updated. Just a message on the WhatsApp line here. See, there's something. I think our WeChat's down. Anyway, if you're messaging us on WeChat, we'll try to get to that. Hey, man, those Cape Town All Black supporters are just a bunch of assholes making a puss of themselves. Oh. Fucktards. I am in Oz, and I still support the Springbok losers. They are my losers. I can't support any other losers. Thanks, Vinny. That's a lovely message. What a nice way to go for some positivity to end this. They are losers. Let's claim them. Supporting the other team. Who the very hell do you think you are? HR update. I'm not going to be here towards the end of October. 26th, 27th. So yeah, I might not be here to do the show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm going to be in Rwanda.
Wow. Rwanda. Yeah. That deserves an explanation.
Are you pulling a Madonna on us?
No, I'll tell you more in the next hour why I'll be going to Rwanda. But let's get some music, huh?
Yeah, let's do that. CliffCentral.com.